is great to be here this morning. Sometimes we forget about the blessings of the warmth of buildings, right? Better to be inside. And it reminds me of Steve's story about the congregations in Belarus that meet in a barn. Is that Belarus or Kosovo? Belarus. So, anyway, this morning, going to kind of follow up on what Brian's meditation was as far as the timing. So after the Lord's Supper and the washing of the apostles' feet, and then Judas departing to do his deed, there is a statement that Jesus makes, and he says, "Where I am going, you cannot come now." And then that kind of prompted the Apostle Peter to say, well, you know, I'm in John 13, verse 37, where after Jesus said, "Where I'm going, you cannot come." Peter said to him, "Lord, why can I not follow you right now? I will lay down my life for you." So we've got a situation here where Peter kind of gets a little bit of him ahead of himself, where his desire to follow Jesus was sincere, no doubt about that, but he wasn't quite ready yet. Peter needed to learn a couple of pretty crucial lessons, one of them being his own weakness, because right after this is when Jesus says, before a cock crows this evening or tonight, you'll deny me three times. And you know, and then the strength of the Lord kind of comes through him being able to persevere through the through that evening, and then the crucifixion the following day. So back to Peter here. You know, once he had kind of learned a couple of the lessons there, the truths, then he was able to take up his cross and follow Christ, and eventually it would lead him all the way to martyrdom. So let's kind of understand about the true nature of our Christian life. And it's got at least two requirements. There's many requirements, but I'm going to focus on just a couple of them this morning. The first one is having a personal relationship with Christ. See, Peter's question here, it really it reveals that following Jesus is not just about religious rituals that we might that they would perform in the Old Testament, but it's about more of a direct personal connection with him today. It's seen in Paul's words in Galatians 2:20, where he says, "The Son of God who loved me," okay, "and gave himself for me." It's an individual relationship that Paul is expressing there, that Christ did that for him individually. And he did it for each one of us individually. So true discipleship requires engaging with Christ on a personal level, seeking him in faith, and experiencing that transforming power by the Holy Spirit, the indwelling Holy Spirit that we have. And the second thing is not just following in faith, but following Christ in action. It's not just enough to have thoughts and ideas and faith, okay? But to follow Jesus means to trust him and to obey him. You know, the New Testament several times it uses the phrase "follow me" in Matthew and John, or just a couple. But when he says "follow me," he's not talking about just a one-time act. He's talking about a lifelong commitment. You know, just as a traveler, if you're going to go on a place that you've never been, on a journey you've never been, you it would be wise to have a guide. I know when out west, when people go on hunting trips, elk, you need a guide out there. You're not going to be just wandering around those vast areas. You need somebody that knows where they're going. You go up into the Alaskan area, there are professional outfitters. And there are guides up there. You can, well, not only get in trouble, it can be fatal to not know what you're doing. So to have a guide is important to have a guide in this life. None of us have ever been where we're at before. And we don't know what tomorrow, we're going to talk on that a little bit later, but we don't know what tomorrow is going to bring. But isn't it a comforting feeling to know that we have a guide in our life, that he knows the future, and he has our best interest in mind. And we also, whenever we have a guide in our physical world, whatever we're doing, we also follow that guide to the end. We don't get halfway through a journey and say, okay, I appreciate all you've done. I can take it from here. We have a guide all the way to the end of whatever that journey is that we are on. So, and part of our journey here on this earth, it includes taking up one's cross. Luke 9 talks about that, enduring the hardships that go along with it, and then remaining faithful to the end with our guide beside us. So, in this idea that we have a guide, the indwelling spirit within us, Christ's words for us in the scriptures, it all through scriptures, there is this idea here, and I go back to the verse that I opened up with Peter. He says, why can I not follow you right now? What is the urgency that Christ has for us in this life? Why is it that it's urgent that we follow Christ? Because God really calls us for immediate obedience. So Peter's eagerness there reflects how the urgency of the gospel is for us as well. And the scripture really consistently talks about this same idea of the urgency, responding promptly. Isaiah 55:6, seek the Lord while he may be found. Doesn't that assume that there's a time that he might not be able to be found by you? Seek the Lord while he may be found, because there's a time that he's not going to be able to be found. And then in 2 Corinthians 6, now is the accepted time. Now is the day of salvation. Hebrews 3:15, today, if you hear his voice, do not harden your heart. So there's a lot of emphasis put on this idea of expediency, of doing it now. So what is the danger of delay? For the young, as Blaine spoke about a little while ago, now is the time, not for young kids, okay, we're talking about younger than Blaine. When it talks about, you know, that now is the time to choose the right path, Ecclesiastes 12, sorry. And then for the older, you know, like Steve's age, you know, the remaining time is short. Had to throw that in there. Yeah. Well, I didn't say old. I said older, okay? So, yeah. But none of us know how. We were just chatting this morning. We don't know what tomorrow is going to bring. We don't know if we're going to be here in a year. We might be here in 10 years. But we don't know. And God, I think, purposely doesn't give us, that time date. Because what would we do? We would procrastinate. Yeah. Put off till tomorrow. Because I've got a whole week. Why not wait 6 days, right? So James 4:14 talks about the time is short. See, some people hear God's call and they feel a conviction, but they delay in their response to that. And others have resisted God's calling for years so long that they end up being hardened in unbelief. So why do people hesitate to follow Jesus? Well, a lot of them, love of the sin in their life and of the world. So many want to resist Christ because they're unwilling to give up their sinful pleasures or their worldly ambitions. Let me finish just this job. Let me finish. I've still got some things that I want to do that don't necessarily involve. They think that they're going to be restricted in their Christianity. So they're going to want to make sure that they accomplish all the things in the world that they want to accomplish, and then they'll make a decision. Well, we know where that ends if they use that as an excuse. They recognize the goodness of a godly life, but are drawn to the temporary comforts that their lifestyle is bringing them at that particular time. So Jesus is warning, you know, in the parable of the sower, about, you know, this really deals with Christians as well as non-Christians. In Matthew 12, you know, the cares of this world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word and it becomes unfruitful. Not necessarily the unfruitful part, because that's obviously talking about a Christian. But for the non-Christian, they are concerned about the cares of this world and the deceitfulness of riches. You know, we've talked before about how deceitful riches are. Just like all sin is deceitful. It's deceitful in the sense that it promises something that it can't fulfill. That you think that you're going to be better off with something, and in reality, you're not. So, and then some assume that they can turn to Christ later, when worldly attractions lose their grip on their life. But that future moment is really very uncertain. In Proverbs 27:1, it says, "Do not boast about tomorrow, for you do not know what a day may bring forth." And others may resist because of their indecision or procrastination, as was mentioned a little while ago. So some people acknowledge the truth of the gospel. They recognize that's true, but they continually postpone their commitment to it. They're not really ready to pull that trigger. They aren't openly rejecting Christ, but they lack the resolve necessary to really follow him. Felix, for example, in Acts 24, told Paul, "When I have a convenient time, I will call you." Scripture ever talk about him having a convenient time later? Maybe he did, but Scripture certainly doesn't indicate that there was ever a convenient time for him. For us, waiting for a convenient time to follow Christ can result in never following him at all. Jesus warned about the half-heartedness when he says, "No one who puts his hand to the plow and looks back is fit for the kingdom of God." And it's in Luke 9. So why is it that we should follow Jesus now? Why is it so important now? Well, first off, the invitation is open. Jesus, his call makes it very clear in Matthew 11. He says, "Come to me, all who are who labor and are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest." The rest that the world gets involved with trying to pursue the riches or the pleasures of this world, it's worrisome, it's tedious. Where Jesus says, "I'll give you rest." Isn't that what they really are looking for? So he desires that none should perish, 2 Peter 3, and welcomes everyone who sincerely seeks after him. Following Jesus is really our highest priority in this life. That's why we were put here. That's why the world, that's why the universe even exists, for us to be able to follow Jesus. When we consider the heavens and the earth and everything created, it was for that one single purpose, for us to be able to follow Jesus. Obedience to Christ, it is optional. We do have that choice. And it's the most important decision that we'll ever make. Our conscience, our understanding of the truth, and our accountability to God all demand that we follow him without delaying. Deuteronomy 30 speaks about that, verses 19 and 20. So to ignore his call is to really risk eternal separation from him. And that is really what we risk. That's what's at stake, is eternal separation. And not just eternal separation, but eternal punishment. You know, it'd be one thing just to be separated, but there's more to it than that. There's the punishment that goes along with resisting that. So some of the areas to consider here. What is the cost of discipleship? Following Jesus, first off, requires self-denial on our part. Are we really willing to forsake all for him? So let's take a look at a couple of present-day examples about the danger of waiting too long to make that most critical decision in our life. Okay, medical emergencies. You know, sometimes we ignore the symptoms until it's way too late. Many people will delay getting medical attention despite very, very clear warnings. You know, we're continually talk about, or we hear about listening to our body. Well, a lot of people don't listen very well. They will take chest pains and write it off to indigestion until it becomes a fatal heart attack, or postponing cancer treatments until the point that it's untreatable. So what is the lesson there? So, you know, just like delaying or ignoring medical care can have fatal consequences. We recognize that. But postponing a decision to follow Christ can result in an opportunity of missing salvation. It's more than just a medical condition. It's a spiritual condition. Or how about natural disasters? We all, you know, we kind of don't live in a geographical place that has a lot of natural disasters. You know, failing to evacuate in time. You know, whether it be hurricanes, whether it be wildfires or earthquakes that might cause tsunamis, you know, authorities often issue warnings to evacuate in each one of those situations. But some people seem to ignore those warnings and assume that they've still got time. They can make it out, no problem. If you've ever seen pictures of the traffic jams trying to leave Florida Panhandle or the Florida down in the peninsula part when there's a hurricane, and people want to wait to the last minute. Traffic is backed up, and it's like moving at a snail's pace. Tragically, many people, they delay and are unable to escape whatever said disaster is in time. So when God calls us to himself, we have the responsibility to react immediately, as delaying could certainly miss the opportunity of his calling. And then personal relationships, waiting too long to reconcile. Many people wait, they regret waiting because if they put it off too long, you know, to either apologize or mend a broken relationship, several things can happen. That person may have passed away. That person has moved along. And then that leaves a permanent regret on the person. So just like that, waiting too long to respond to God's call in our life can lead to eternal separation from him. And the tragic words that they would hear from Jesus on that day is, "Depart from me, I never knew you." Or tragic accidents, you know, assuming that there's more time. Even though you are in perfect health, you know, many people assume that there's years ahead in their life in order to get their lives together. But then they are struck with sudden accidents, whether it be celebrities, athletes, or individuals. They're taken unexpectedly, and it's a reminder to us that life is fragile. These bodies are not designed to live forever, and in the cars that we drive, we always assume that they're going to get us to wherever we're wanting to go safely, and that the person coming the other way is not texting on the phone. James 4:14, you do not know what will happen tomorrow. What is your life? It is even a vapor that appears for a little time and then vanishes away. So let's look at some biblical examples of people who missed out on God's blessings due to their own choices. Not anyone else's, but for their own. Esau, trading his birthright for immediate gratification. Esau had the birthright as the firstborn. It included the spiritual blessings and the leadership of the entire family of God. But he despised it and traded it for a bowl of stew. His impulsiveness cost him the greater blessings, and then later when he sought after it with tears, it was no longer available to him. So the short-term desires should never outweigh the long-term spiritual blessings that we have available to us. How about the Israelites? Delaying obedience and missing the promised land. God commanded them when they came out of Egypt to enter immediately into the land of Canaan, but they let their fear stop them. And as a result, an entire generation wandered in the wilderness for 40 years, and they never entered the promised land. So that fear and unbelief can cause us to miss out as well, just like it did with them. How about Lot's wife? Oh, Lot's wife. See, God rescued all of Lot's family, Lot and his ends up being just his two daughters, from the destruction of Sodom and Gomorrah. But Lot's wife disobeyed and looked back when she was told not to. She turned into a pillar of salt, and it really symbolizes her attachment to the world, and it ended up costing her everything. So when God today calls us forward, lingering in the past can be spiritual disaster for us when we linger in the past when we're called to move forward. How about the rich young ruler, choosing his wealth over eternal life? See, this young man sincerely sought eternal life, but when Jesus told him to sell all of his possessions and follow him, he walked away sorrowful. He valued his wealth more than Christ, missing out to be one of Christ's closest disciples. So when we cling to material possessions, that can keep us from the fulfillment of the blessings that God wants for us as well. How about the five foolish virgins, unprepared for the bridegroom? See, Jesus' parable there about these five virgins, they were unprepared when the bridegroom arrived. They went to buy oil for their lamps, and they returned too late. The door was shut, and they were left outside. Spiritual preparation on our part, preparedness on our part, is essential. We never know when our opportunity to respond will pass. As I spoke earlier about whether it be accidents, illness, or other desires of the world. All right, well, how about King Saul? He lost his kingdom due to partial obedience. Oh, this is a dangerous one. See, Saul was chosen by God to be Israel's first king, but he repeatedly disobeyed God's commands. He impatiently offered up a sacrifice instead of waiting for Samuel. And then in 1 Samuel 15, he spared King Agag and all the best livestock when God commanded him to destroy it all. So God rejected Saul as king and gave the throne to David. But why was that? I mean, he did okay, right? But it was partial obedience that he was, and partial obedience is disobedience, okay? And delaying, you know, his full submission to God can obviously in that case led to missed blessings on King Saul's part. So partial obedience is disobedience. It's like partial truth is a lie. Okay, same thing. All right, well, how about Judas? Okay, we won't spend a lot of time on Judas, but he obviously considered that temporary financial gain he'd rather choose that. He was one of Christ's chosen apostles. So we recognize that even in a position like that, he was still prone to the draw of the world, okay? And he missed out on salvation and his place among the apostles. How about the inhabitants of Noah's time? Ignoring the warnings of Noah, preacher, okay? He continually warned them about judgment to come. Noah preached to them for years while he's building the ark, and they refused to believe. They continued living life as usual, and then when the flood came, they were all swept away and perished. So the lesson is ignoring God's warnings can lead to pretty irreversible consequences. Or the procrastinating disciple, hesitating to follow Jesus. You know, one man, remember the one that came and says, "Lord, let me first go and bury my father?" And another one said, "Let me go and say goodbye to my friends before following Christ." So their delayed discipleship, we don't know whether they ever came back, but there's no indication. The warning seems to be pretty clear that if you put other physical life before God, then you risk the blessing of eternal life with God. And the last one, the Titanic. Did we hit an iceberg or something?
I'm out of here.
Grab your life jackets, right? You know, the Titanic, they received multiple warnings to slow down because they were in iceberg-infested waters. But they continued on sailing at high speed. But when the disaster struck here, lifeboats were launched half full, because many of the passengers hesitated to leave the unsinkable ship. You know, at first, when you hear about the lifeboats being half full, you think, well, there was just too many people, crowded people trying to get onto lifeboats. No, that's not the case. Well, a lot of them were locked downstairs. But even the people on the decks that had access to them, they still ate, drank, danced, listened to the music, whatever, because they didn't think that that ship was going down. So the lesson that we've got to learn from that is not to ignore warnings, delay actions in a crisis, and it can be fatal. So these examples really emphasize that delayed obedience or attachment to the world, or misplaced priorities can cause people to miss out on God's best plans for us. Each of these examples really serves as a reminder that delaying a critical decision can have irreversible consequences in our life. Just as people suffer in this life for waiting too long to act, delaying decision to follow Jesus can have eternal consequences as well. So the urgency is clear. Bible makes it very clear. We must respond to God's call today before it's too late. Peter, he was ready to go, but he was still a little bit unprepared. But his initial enthusiasm was, it was pretty admirable. You know, his heart was in the right place. He needed a little bit of work there before he could fully follow. But today we're faced with the same question that Peter asked. Lord, why can't I follow you now? The reality is we can. We can follow him right now. So the invitation is open, and the urgency on our part is clear. We've got to follow Jesus today. Thanks for your attention this morning.